All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. So it's Wednesday, the 22nd of February, 2023. Unbelievable time is flying. It's the Crazy Files podcast with Adam, of course, and Nadine Sisterson's plugging in with me tonight. It's great to have Nadine back on the podcast. Haven't spoken for a little bit, but there's lots to catch up on for sure. Nadine is the former president of the AVN, so lots to cover since we last spoke. Nadine, unbelievable, man, how quick it has gone. And I on my Night Watch podcast, which I do for my members, the other night I was just saying that Nadine will be here once a month. How cool is that to plug in with me? And it's no fixed date. I mean, probably around this time each month, we'll just log in and go over the latest and what's in front of us. Nadine's up in Newcastle, a couple of hours from me. I'm in Sydney, Northern Beaches, and she brings a unique perspective as to what she's seeing on the ground there. Smart city. Oh, yeah. Newcastle. And we talked about this ages ago. We talked about their plans for Newcastle and Sydney, what's going on. So, you know, there's a lot to wrap up, and I feel like information is really the key. We get information out to the public and we get people thinking and talking, that really helps, and that's why there's so much censorship and stuff going on. So it is good, and it is critical times to get information out there. We really are in an info war. So we continue here, and we move forward, and we stay positive as best we can. So everything's up on the website, crazfiles.com. Been going since 2015. Wow, how's that? 2015, and the website still goes. There's a small members on the website, which helps me to continue. It's $8 a month, and all the details are up on the website if you want to log in there. And there's great members area, and I do extra podcasts as well. I'm doing the Night Watch podcast each night that I'm not on with guests, and just covering all the latest news, because there's so much to cover every day. You know, I think I'll have a rest today, and then by night time I sit down here and I've got another whole show. And this is just stuff coming through on the email, stuff that's being posted on Telegram, things that people are mentioning and talking about. It's incredible. And, you know, of course, I keep my eye on the scumbag mainstream media in this country and their putrid lies, and a lot of people can't stand it. But I'm pretty thick-skinned. Doesn't bother me. And I'm perfectly happy to take that and break it down and put it out there and take it all to pieces, you know, and offer my 2 cents is what we do. So I do the Night Watch podcast just doing that, and so they're happening all the time for the Crazy Files members. Big website, so it's just one of those things. It costs a lot more now for hosting and everything, so members just help. And I don't like WordPress ads or Google ads or any of that stuff on the website. I've managed to keep it really clean and nice, and so it's a member funded website now. So please hop over there and support me into this year. I do it year by year, and we continue into 2023, and that's amazing, and seeing all the traffic on there and everything. But it's a big website, and there's plenty to look at anyway, and all the social media links are now attached there, and folks can contact me anytime. I'll put Nadine's info up there if you want to email or check out what she's doing, of course. And we do not stop. Nadine, you were on the last podcast we plugged in last year. You were kind of in no man's land a little bit. I think you were still the president of the AVN, and we were talking about the Vax tour bus that you were kind of going on, and that it was heading down in New South Wales, and there was going to be Victoria and everything. Yeah. All this has passed, and now you've taken a step out of this role, which because I don't expect you to go into anything, but you've had some personal challenges in your life last year, and things haven't been easy, but you've found a way forward. And you're still, like Merrill, I'm assuming, connected, obviously, forever with the with the AVN and helping and having that role. So we'll start off there, how you've been and what happens. What happened when you left your role in the AVN? Is there another president now doing that, and how is it all looking? Because a lot of people asking questions about it and always interested in this body, because it does give people a voice, And it's a really important one that we have in this country, and that we continue it. So this Meryl, she's going to come back and be the president again. How's it all going with that? And welcome aboard again. Welcome on deck.
Thanks for having me, Adam. It's always awesome to get on here and chat to you, and being an old friend and all, it's always just easy to sit and chat and talk about everything that's going on. So thanks.
It's great to have you on, and you've got that good perspective, as I said, and being a mum and everything that you've been through, and being in the AVN and watching everything like we are, like a hawk, you know everything that's going on around you, and you're keeping an eye on all the news. So it's, as I said, it's great to have you on each month to break down all the latest.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's been a phenomenal couple of years, and it wasn't an easy decision to leave the AVN, and I'll be completely transparent. My dad died suddenly last year, and it was obviously being suddenly very unexpected and a massive shock. And it happened in April, and I obviously had, just stepped into the role in the January, and by October, I realized I just really had no, I had no space to really just be with my family and, my husband, my son, and my mum that had been left behind. And I really just, I didn't want the responsibility anymore. And I know that to some people that may sound all different kinds of things, but when you're dealing with grief and a sudden death, and particularly your parent, it is like a grief that you've never, ever experienced before. And, I mean, I don't think I'll ever be out of grief for losing my father. He was a massive role model in my life, a man that I looked up to incredibly. And he just supported me 100% with whatever I did. And to lose him, he motivated me incredibly to do the work that I was doing with the AVN. And I absolutely love everything that the AVN stands for, but I knew I needed to step back and really give myself some time, allow my heart to, to have a break and let someone else in that role. And unfortunately for Meryl, she did step back in. And when I say unfortunately, she's been trying to leave for a very long time. But, I couldn't, sit there and say, well, what about Meryl? I had to do something for myself. And when you've been fighting this fight for, I've been in the childcare industry for 28 years. It's a long time to be completely aware of the vaccine damage and the pharmaceutical nightmare that's been pushed upon our children. And I've just worked so hard all these years to educate my communities and educate the industry that I work in, and then to be able to very fortunately be working with the AVN has just been, such a wonderful experience and one that I'll forever cherish. At times it comes with a cost, and you would be all too aware of the time that you spend away from your family. You're not being paid to do this. You're also working a paid job as well, looking after children and also caring for a community in Newcastle, which we established our own unvaccinated, like-minded community many, many years ago. And so, something had to give. And I also am a firm believer that it's really good for associations to have fresh faces and fresh minds come into it every couple of years. I'm not sure what the AVN have planned. I have actually really stepped away and just having some time for myself right now. So I don't know what they have planned for the future, but I know it'll always be a good thing. So we'll just have to watch that space, and hopefully Meryl gets to retire as the way she wants to. So yeah, it's been a really nice journey to step back and be able to discuss freely as well the things that really matter to me. So yeah, vaccines have always been one thing, but it's not been everything that I've been interested in. As you're aware too, Adam, it's, the whole how do you put it? The whole New World Order has always been a great interest of mine. The digital identity, which they've talked about for, not just the last couple of years, they've talked about it for like 10 years or more, and they've talked about smart cities, and I'm really passionate about homeschooling as well, and the unit of the family. So it's really exciting for me to be able to sit and talk to other people more publicly about these things than just being in the one column of vaccines. So for me, that's really exciting, because we know that they all marry each other in the end. Vaccines was a step in for pharmaceutical and governments to take hold on people and coerce them into a model that they can have control. And unfortunately, it's come to, the last couple of years for people to see that, and it slapped them straight in the face. I said unfortunately, but for me personally, it's not unfortunately, because I think that there's a plan for everything. So, yes, we've got the New World Order plan, but there's also God's plan, and we're here for this to happen right now, and for us to stand forward and share the truth of what's going on. So the more people become aware of the corruption that is the basis of our society and leaders, not the basis of people in society, the more people come together. So it's a real great awakening, and it's a, how would I put it? It's been really pivotal for communities to really come together and see what's important. And it's bringing people back to those basics. And I know we've discussed that before. We all talk about this, but it is time to really create the world that you want to live in. And so I find this whole thing a massive gift. I think that, as one of my friends, I love her quote, most gifts come in really strange wrapping, and this is a gift, and it is extremely strange wrapping. But it's waking us up to what doesn't work anymore, and when that happens, we know things start to crumble and they get messy, and we think we've seen the worst, but I truly believe there is more to come, as we know. Like, there's more control, and there's more censorship of people, and there's more to come in limiting your movement. But will those things really happen? Well, we don't know, do we? Because if people keep moving towards the future that they want, they can also create the movement that they want. So for right now in Newcastle, a lot of people have become completely aware of the smart city agenda, and they've then just seen that there is a whole 5G network happening. And I think that's incredible that they're waking up to that, because I think it was in 2017, myself and another friend created a 5G group for Newcastle, and we had a viewing of a film on 5G, and like 20 people came, and we were like, wow, really? No, is no one getting what's going on? But it wasn't the right time. You know, there's timing in these things for people to come to that awareness. So you learn a lot of patience and resilience in the process. But what's going on now in Newcastle, as in Sydney and the Central Coast, and obviously many other cities in Australia, this push, and I know Newcastle is meant to be the model of all of this, so aren't we really lucky? You know, we're just so blessed to be the guinea pig in all of this. But they didn't call us Newcastle for no reason, did they? They said, let's create new castles in Newcastle. But what it's done is the community that formed over the last couple of years in particular have now become extremely activated, and there are all these different hubs in Newcastle depending on what area you live, and they're all coming together and they're coming up with these brilliant ideas and plans of how to move forward within this, you know, new model of living that they want to push on us. And I'd like to promote, there's a new, I think, I don't know if it's an association, but say a new group called My Place Australia. I don't know if you've heard of that, Adam. Have you heard of that group yet?
It slightly rings a bell.
Yeah, well, it's just coming off, you know, coming into view in Australia. But basically, your area, you know, the Northern Beaches, you could go, all right, Northern Beaches want to have a My Place. And what it means is little hubs start forming, and you have groups that will attend council meetings and, you know, learn about everything council's trying to push forward and have the, you know, put forward to have meetings with councillors and MPs. You've got a group that's looking at sourcing food security and water security. So, fortunately, we'd done a lot of that already during COVID and before that, just with our like-minded community supporting our like-minded family businesses. So we're really fortunate in the Hunter that we have farms right on our doorstep. So we can have milk delivered, eggs delivered, fresh fruit and vegetables delivered at any time. So a lot of different co-ops have formed. So that's sort of one section of this My Place. And there's other things that are coming out of that. So that's a really positive step forward. And people are starting to really research and get information together in more of a interactive way, opposed to just sharing information. They're actually getting together, having meetings and doing things. And I'm really impressed that that's happening, because I think this is where we can make the change. And I think we need to start looking at our MPs and councillors as people that they are there to serve us, as we know. But we need to go to them and chat about these things that are happening and give them questions of like, well, how will this impact our daily life if we've got Wi-Fi going around? Have you looked at, you know, the implications of that technology being basically radiated all around the town? So it's also people having to learn how to have that dialogue with people without getting hostile, and having respectful conversations. And I think that's one thing I've found over the last few years is everyone's so keen to give their opinion on the state of affairs, whether they're on your side or not on your side, but they tend to forget to have that respect and listen to the other person and actually learn, like, why are they thinking that way? Why have they come up with these ideas? Where did they come to that way of thinking? And then if you can pay that respect to them, they're most likely going to have a listen to you too. And but then you can have even a more well-rounded approach to things when you really understand why people are doing the things they're doing. So I think it's an incredibly interesting time, to witness and to be part of, in whatever which way you choose to. But there's so many different things happening, and I am just so proud of Newcastle. You know, we've got a very strong like-minded community, which is keeps growing and growing. And over the last couple of years, you know, we've really seen action coming together, and yeah, it's phenomenal. It's actually really like, yeah, you know that you're not sitting here and knowing that, you know, another family are just down the road or there. Like, you know, pretty much every street's going to have someone that's wanting to get activated and do something. So I think that's really impressive, and I'm sure that that is the way it is in most places if we can think that way, you know, in a really positive way, that, you know, there are more people like us than not. And I truly believe we can make that change, you know. It's just, it's, yeah, be patient, you know. All these things don't get pushed on you just overnight. They've been a slow drip. We just, a lot of people haven't seen the slow drip until now. So they're catching up, and it's frightening, and they're terrified, and they want to do something. And that's good, but let's take the terror and the fear out of it, and, you know, start really, like, you know, looking at it in a really positive way of how you can make great change to a really messed up system that we've been living in.
Yeah, that's right. We've been discussing a little bit on the podcast quite a bit lately, actually. And I actually started another podcast for the CRAS members. It's like a reading and observation podcast for folks who like to listen to just. And I go through different PDFs. And David Parker was on from the UK the other night. He was talking about this kind of subject about how we create our own reality, you know. And I do believe that our bodies are kind of like I would look at it as sort of like a projection of consciousness. I think we're being projected into this so-called reality, and I think that if we are being fed with, as you said, fear-based kind of mind control, you know, propaganda and things like that, and we are absorbing this fear, and people are scared about what's happening and all of this, as you said, and then we are putting that back out. Then that fear that we are absorbing through the system and then we are putting back out, it shapes and creates the reality that we see around us right now. And if we have, as you said, you know, small communities, no matter how small, that are changing the way that they're thinking and they understand this, then this creates a better reality instantly, really, you know,
Absolutely.
all around us, you know. And so this is why there's so much fear going. So I do believe that. I think that I'm starting to understand now that we're, it could be actually us doing this. And I know that's a weird thing for folks to understand, but I think we're actually, or there is something here, there is something here that is, we're basically, you know, I engineering or manipulating us in such a way, we're doing it to ourselves, basically. We're creating this reality, this kind of miserable reality, through the way that we see things and the way that we think. And as you're saying there, you know, it is that mind job, isn't it? It's that way that you need to look at the world around you and your communities and everything. And I think that that starts individually, with each person, and then you work your way out. And I understand, I've brought it up on many podcasts, that it's a really difficult situation that we're in as well. No one's saying it's easy, because you know, this whole COVID nonsense and the jabs and everything, it has divided communities, and a lot of people, loved ones or you know, family and friends and work colleagues and things and people around. They're buying into this whole narrative, this Agenda 2030 narrative, this great global reset narrative. And they're not seeing the bigger picture yet, but they will. But a lot of people, as you said, are seeing it now. And they didn't, maybe perhaps they didn't before, whereas we've always seen it, and we're seeing it take shape and form. But a lot of people now, they're starting to come on board, because they really are starting to see this, especially, you know, here is quite similar on the northern beaches of Sydney to Newcastle. It's not too far away. It's quite interlinked, and I think it's the same sort of similar communities. In fact, a lot of friends and people that I speak to, I'm like, they go up there all the time because they have friends, as we do, and you guys, and they know people there, and it's kind of that. It's that sort of, you know, it kind of, you've got like kind of Wollongong and stuff to the south, but Newcastle is that best place for me, because after Newcastle, I don't know, I don't really know where to go, Nino. You're sort of, you're heading up the north coast, but Newcastle's that really good, vibrant hub, and it's a magnificent place, and it would be a shame for locals there to be steamrolled here with the smart city agenda, because they've always had that planned for Newcastle, and it's good to see that electricity you know, pumping through the veins of the local communities there, because really you look at a place like Newcastle, you guys have everything that you need. You know, there's massive food bowl there. You've got the coast, you've got the fishing, you've got everything absolutely at your doorstep. It's a vibrant modern city. But the thing is, is that these powers that be, and this is all coming from the UN and outside the country, they want to do things to this place that obviously the locals is getting under their skin and they don't want. And this is a really interesting concept that you're talking about there, that these hubs and communities and local kind of things and doing things ourselves, I think it's an important way forward. And if we play into their fear, then it's going to shape that kind of reality, and we don't want to go there anymore. So I think it's important that we start to understand what's going on, we face it, and we say, look, this is ugly, you know, it is not a nice thing, this Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates agenda 2030. I mean, look at what they're doing, look at what they've done to people, it's terrible. And I myself have noticed it as well, like during the lockdowns in Sydney and what they did here, and then I noticed these 5G towers going up. And you're familiar with the area as well. I was really shocked to see one at Collery Plateau Park, which is where I grew up as a kid. And I talked about this on one of my Nightwatch podcasts, that all my greatest young memories of being a kid going up the park on firecracker night and kicking the ball and just being up around that area with all the other kids. And then driving past and seeing this huge beast there, and now driving around the Cromer and all the areas that you grew up in as well, there's all these towers everywhere. And initially people didn't sort of notice it so much, and now there's more, and they're adding more, they're connecting more on, and there's all these strange like panels going on top of all the buildings and everything. It really is starting to surround us. And I think people are thinking, is this safe for our kids, is this safe for our communities, what's going on here? So on the northern beaches here, these communities are going having meetings because they don't want 5G towers around their parklands, because they're schools and things, and they're very active about this. And now what's happened is that Telstra have just gone ahead and done it anyway, and they've put it right in the parks where kids are playing, and there are schools. So we can see that this is because it's an agenda. And so we've got to sort of think to ourselves, well, how do we fix this? How do we because us as a community, we're getting together like in Byron and Mullumbimby, and we're telling the government and Telstra that we don't want these towers here because, you know, we feel unsafe, and we feel like there's not enough study done, and we don't really want them in our communities, and here they are going ahead and doing it anyway. We're at that point now where we need more people in our communities to come together. And I think that what you were talking about there is a very strong point, because I think that if we do that, actually a guy that I spoke to ages ago in Melbourne, he said, he made up a really good point to me, and he said, everyone's going from Melbourne trying to get on the trains and the buses, and the police are blocking them for the protest when Daniel Andrews, the dictator, locked them down, the communist. And he said, they're all trying to get in the city, and then they're going into the trap, and all the police are waiting for them. And he said, what we need to be doing is every single suburb all through Melbourne need to be doing their own protests. So like we shut down every suburb, and that means that the police cannot simply go out. and deal with all this that's going on, you know, get out the pots and pans in every suburb. Yeah. And I think what you're saying there is really interesting. And if we start to not worry so much about going outside, if we can get all our communities together and start doing it like that, then people don't have to worry about traveling anywhere. And what everyone else is doing, we all do it together where we're living. And I think that's an important thing. And this brings into play farm gates and supporting local shops who are on board with us, and you know, and all this stuff that's been going on, and cutting out all that, forming our own banking system. A lot of people have been talking about this, our own community gardens, place where people can get eggs and food and shop and things like that, making things, selling things, buying things, that kind of stuff. I think this is going to, this whole COVID thing and the smart city thing, I think it's going to eventually force that back. And I'm noticing just what you've been posting on your social media, that you're getting into a lot of that community stuff where people are doing this and saying, you know what, we don't really need this government anymore, and we don't need to, you know, be a part of this fear campaign anymore, because now they're drumming up wars. There's going to be World War III, and it's all about controlling us through fear. We need to take our communities back grid by grid, block by block. That's all it. Over the world, and we need to start taking things into our own hands, growing our own food, doing things our way, because as a country, we've relied on the nanny state government to do things for us for too long, because it's just simply been so easy. But now we're starting to see that we're getting eaten alive here, and this can't stand, that we have to actually put in that work as well in our communities to take our lives back. We can't just let technology take it all over for us and do everything for us, because that's exactly what the system wants.
That's right.
You know, so it's going to be a lot of hard work, I think. But I think it's just simply too much for people to think about what everyone else is doing. So I think what you're mentioning there, within Newcastle, within Sydney, within all our different communities, we just take our lives back and we start to project that out. And you can already see it happening. You can see it happening all over the world. And the United States, you'll have different places like Florida and different places where they're just not buying into this thing and they're going their own way. And we see that a lot in Australia, where communities, you'll get good even people within the council that will come in, and you'll get good you know, leadership around, where people start to think like we do as well, and they'll say, you know what, we don't want this. And it's happening in the UK right now. They don't want the 15-minute cities in certain areas over there, and they're saying no, and they're hitting the streets, and the councils are saying we don't want this either.
Who wants to live in a 15-minute city? I mean, really? Like,
and then the media are saying you're a conspiracy theorist and a lunatic,
But nobody coped in lockdown when people got stuck in their LGA.
Well, that was a test, Nene. Right? That was a test.
And how many people did stay in their LGA, and how many people went, stuff you, I'm going wherever I like? But the fact was, people started going, hang on, where's my perimeter? And they were mapping out how far they could go.
Exactly.
And people were like, you know, people were killing themselves. People were getting depressed. Like, it was unbelievably sad what was going on. And you're like, if they couldn't handle that, I mean, an LGA is bigger than 15 minutes, I tell you. So if you're going yay to 15-minute cities, say goodbye to go and seeing grandma or mum up the road, you're not going to be able to get there.
Well, such high tech means, so like if they've got these high tech 15-minute zones where everything that you need is in that zone, they're expecting people to fall into that trap. Well, it's a digital mind snare.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they're saying. And we were talking about this on the podcast today with Jason from the news.com.au. They're saying, oh, inside the 15-minute city conspiracy theory, sucking in gullible Australians, right?
Yeah.
And they're saying that we're gullible for talking about this when they themselves are admitting their plans through Agenda 2030. And I was just talking about the Planning Victoria website from the Victorian government, the 20-minute neighbourhoods. Learn about how we're creating this. There's introducing the 20-minute neighbourhood zone. And there's videos. This is from the Victorian government website. But don't worry, because the Murdoch media want to say that you're a conspiracy theorist and you're a lunatic. But this is exactly what they're telling us. This is, they got this plan for 2030 but into 2050.
They put out that show called Hunted.
Yeah, that's right. Where that's right. I was
men in black suits.
I was ranting about that, yeah. And I was talking about on the podcast. I mean, what timing to bring out? And you know what? They filmed Hunted. They filmed it during the Melbourne lockdowns, when everyone was locked in their houses, and they were being bullied and intimidated by Daniel Andrews' Gestapo goons of doom in black, you know, the commies, and couldn't even go out of their houses or go and get a loaf of bread because you were bullied and threatened. And here they are making that kind of program. And where contestants are unleashed around Melbourne and hunted down by AI technology. Mm. I mean, it's unbelievable. So to talk about, you know, indoctrinating the public into accepting this kind of draconian dystopian future, you know, which none of us want.
What was that movie?
Hunger Games?
No. Was it Blade Runner? No, not Blade Runner. What was it?
Remember The Dome that was on Channel 10? There was the series as well, The Dome, where it came down over people and they were stuck in the dome.
There was an old 80s movie and I think it had people's names are escaping me tonight and movies. It was the one that the I'll Be Back became
Terminator?
Terminator, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who was the actor from the Terminator? Schwarzenegger, and he was in that movie and he ends up like basically getting chased around and it's a game.
Oh, yeah, that's The Running Man.
The Running Man. Mm. See, I knew it had something to do with running. I said Blade Runner. Mm. That's probably like a comedy. I can't even remember that movie now. But, yeah, Running Man, that was freaky as I remember watching that going, what's happening? Like, and it's no different. Like, you've got all these people running in circles, hiding. And I remember Black Mirror. That show, now that, if you want to see what they'd love to do with us in the future, I mean, that show is absolutely terrifying. And
isn't it amazing then how they're using movies and how they're showing you what they're going to do and what's coming and what they're doing, but they're using entertainment so you don't take it seriously. But
yeah,
that's going into your subconscious mindset. And when it happens, because you've seen it before, it's not so bad. So you kind of click into it, but it's crazy what they're doing.
Yeah, and they've been doing that
so long. Predictive programming.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to watch a children's movie. We went to see, Odin wanted to just watch a movie, so I said, all right, we'll go to the movies, and we end up watching Puss in Boots, and I have never seen so much Illuminati stuff shoved symbolism in our faces in that movie. And I don't know what they do, but I remember going and seeing Trolls, so don't judge me, but we we went and saw...
I just look at the Australian government and I've got my Trolls.
That's right. And
Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Yeah.
There's your troll.
Ironically, in this movie, something was going on and there was all this strobing light in the movie. And I remember I just was like, oh, geez. And I started getting really sleepy and like yawning. And I've looked over to Mark, my husband, and don't even need to say that to you. I'm just saying it to the viewers. I look over to Mark and he's having exactly the same symptoms as me. And we both were like on the verge of falling asleep. But Odin is sitting between us with his eyes wide open, almost like Clockwork Orange. And he's just like, oh, and he was wired. Now, I had the same experience happen to me watching Puss in Boots. And I thought, what are they doing to parents in this moment to get a message to the children?
That's interesting.
Now, I mean, I don't think that's a conspiracy. I honestly think there is weird stuff going on in these movies. We all know they're indoctrinating our children on so many different levels. And look, no matter what your style of parenting is, I know you've been hugely successful in ensuring your child has not watched TV or anything. We've failed miserably in that section. But at the same time, I didn't want Odin to get to a point in his life where he basically scoffed it all in, you know, like denying a child like junk food, and then they have an opportunity and they just like shove it all in intensely. Not that I think yours is going to do that. I know she won't be allowed,
That's the
but
hardest thing, then. Like,
it's the hardest
you
thing.
try to shelter them from all this, but you know that that day's going to come, when they get shown this, and it's going to be like a sledgehammer, like a shock, and
Well,
so
we
you
did,
got
you
to
know,
find that
talk
balance
about
as a parent. It's tough.
yeah,
And
we
if you didn't
talked
go to those
about
kinds of movies, you wouldn't know what they're doing as well. So in a way, you're watching it like I watch them as well, and I take notes. But the thing is awareness here. You know, awareness is the key, and you're going into a cinema and you're watching that and you're like, wow, while the rest of the people are just not aware of it, but
No.
you guys are actually consciously aware of this stuff going on in there, and now you're able to document it and speak it out here. So this is the way that we understand things and get it out and break it down. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. So if people who hear this podcast may have had the same experience of you, and might not have said anything to anyone, they're like, oh, I saw that as well. Yeah. So we have to kind of go through the meat grinder in a way. But when you've got kids, what do you do? You as a parent, you want to shield them from all this, but then you know that that day's coming when they're going to be exposed to it. So in that role, you've just got to educate them and let them know that it's coming. And when it does, this is how we want you to do, or let us know, or deal with it. But it's tough.
Well, you try your best, don't you? I mean, at the moment, you know, what is it? We've got the LGBT alphabet community having their month of gayness and celebrating everything unique about them. And Newcastle has decided to, you know, let's do this. Like, this will be amazing. And so I know, you know, Manly Library allowed the
That's coming up. I put the article up. Yeah,
trans storytelling.
the psycho queers, yeah, in their get up to read to
You know,
children, which is n not appropriate at all.
there was a transgender person came out not long ago and said, "We are not the people you want your child having a story read by. Like, you know, we should not be around your children, what we represent." And you're like, "Wow, I wonder how they what happened to them after that." I've never really found out what happened. But the thing is, you know, our children look and they think, what is going on there? Is that a clown? Is this a that or a that? You know, they don't know. And oh, I
Well, it's
mean,
a clown,
well, yeah, it's a man dressed as a clown.
yeah. Well, as you said, yeah, they don't know how to compute that, you
They,
know?
it doesn't make sense to them, and they will, you know, and this is where we're, you know, as a parent, we're being completely honest with our child, and we're like, you know, he's seen a picture and he's like, "Is that a man?" We're like, "Yes, it is." And he
Yes.
goes, "Why are they doing that?" And we just go, "I don't know. I think they've got a mental illness." And I know that may upset some people because I know in people's journeys to awakening to agendas, there are still a lot of people, and I hate this word, the woke folk. They need a bloody good poke in the head to realize that their climate change, they're supporting, you know, the gay, transgender community is actually incredibly wrong in
Yeah, a
that.
good
Like,
brick in the head.
we have been programmed to go, we must accept everything because if we don't, then we're, you know, we're not on the right page. It's unpolitically correct. You're going to be ostracized from society. Well, guess what? You know, you and I, Adam, we've been ostracized from society for a long time. But,
I love it.
you know, yeah, well, I'm happy because I don't have to deal with dickheads. So, but, you know, I've had Odin be questioned, like, why don't you go to school? And And he has so many different answers to this question that it's quite phenomenal if you're ever there to experience him getting asked that. But generally, I'm not. So he'll come back a couple of days later and tell me about these great conversations he's had. And so just recently, his new response was, well, mum and dad don't want me to be around people that think men can be women and women can be men. And then he was asked, well, don't you think they can? And he said, well, no, they can't. And the other person, this other kid's like, yes, they can. They can be whatever they like. And Odin replied and he said quite simply, look, God didn't make you that way. There's two genders, man and woman, full stop. And this kid's like, well, my teacher told me that you can. And Odin goes, and that's why I don't go to school. Like, just quite simply. And this is out of the mouth of an 8-year-old. He's made his, he can see it. There's two genders, man and woman. And he knows that he's seen friends, siblings trying to transition from a woman to a man. Or have multiple personalities, like multiple genders, I should say, in their head, and they change to different people and multiple personalities. And he's seeing and he's like, this poor person, why are they not happy with who they are? Why are they doing this and why are they doing that? And I mean, that's the ultimate question. Why? Like, why are these people doing that? And do we want to expose our children to being a rainbow one day, a horse another, and a woman the next, and then they go down the track of changing their sex and fully regretting it when they realize that they were confused. And I know it's a very controversial subject to many, but we have been so programmed to, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Oh, how liberating is this movie? Like, we're all going to watch trannies going out into country towns. I mean, I lived in Newtown for many years and we used to watch the drag shows down at the Erskineville Hotel. And I thought I was really cool. Like, I'm, 19 and I'm out of home and I'm getting to see all these different things. And I think of it now and I'm like, that was really spun out, because one minute I'm watching that, and then the next minute I'm watching Front End Loader play at the Sando. And I know what I much preferred was to see real men playing in a rock band, playing really good music, than men dressing up as women, dancing and looking ridiculous. So,
Well,
but
look
yeah,
at Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Nina.
that's right.
A very famous movie, eh? But you wonder, you look at, the idea behind that. But, I mean, but you're still, you're an 18 or 21-year-old at the time, and you're going and you're computing this stuff, and then you're watching and you're thinking, oh, but I mean, we're talking about 3-year-old kids here in the local library.
No, it's
This is
not.
not this is not right, and parents shouldn't be taking their kids, as you said, they don't know how to compute this. This is wrong, and they should this should not be pushed on our children
Little children,
like this. It's and so it's an agenda. That's the thing,
it is.
and we know people, powerful people like George Soros, a Zionist, behind this, that he creates umbrella organizations for all of this. Mark Latham, he said that the safe schools, it never went away. They just changed the names, and they morph and always change. But this is not acceptable. A library is not a place for this. It is absolutely not a place to have these things go in. And it's interesting, this particular drag queen, Charisma Bell. This one seems to be used. It's on like the project show and on the TV shows, and travels around the country. This is the main kind of identity here, but we don't know who's behind that. We don't know who's behind that character, because if you
No.
they're displaying to us this drag queen character, but who's the dude behind it? Who are we dealing with here? You know, who's the person that's doing this? We don't know. And so, you know, I think about mind control. I think of all sorts of things with this one, because not a lot of them doing it. They're using one specific character to go around and speak to children and read books. Why, in our day and age, right now in 2023, do we need drag queens in our public libraries to be, and the library selling tickets for them to be sitting in there like this, dressed up like the way that they do, reading to young 3-year-old children or whatever? It's just something we don't need.
No.
We don't need it at all. It's the last thing that we need. We need what we've been talking about before, identifying and connecting and communicating within our communities and getting the family unit strong and getting our communities back, because in each community that we have everything. We have absolutely everything. We've got teachers, we've got plumbers, we've got electricians, we've got farmers, we've got everything that you can possibly think of. We've got everyone that you could possibly want. If you look at your little community now, where you are, think about all the different people and all the things going on in that community that you could get together to make this machine, you know? So, you know, even if you were to take a little tiny space and you were to go outside in your street and walk around, you'd be like, there's so many people that can do amazing things. And then we could make our, not even our community, but our kind of neighborhood, we could tighten this up and start doing all sorts of awesome things. So, you know, like, this is what we need to be getting into. And we don't need this kind of display going on to our kids, but going on with our kids. But unfortunately, it's happening. But I will say, looking at this, I found this with the Manly Library thing with the drag queen stuff. I found this on Facebook on one of the Northern Beaches open-minded communities the other day, and a lady was in there, and she just said, "I thought you might want to all know about this," and it triggered a tsunami of comments, and then all these ladies in there, they started ringing up the library and complaining and sending emails. But then another lady came in and said, "Why don't we just book out all the tickets?" Because the tickets were free. So I think, and then when I saw that happen and I went back, it was sold out. So I think a lot of people booked all the tickets out.
No, it'll
but
be there.
On the day, they're not going to turn up.
Well, they
and,
should.
But, you know, as I was saying to you, on Messenger, maybe everybody in the community should turn up they do in the United States and turn up to the library and sit down on the seats and actually just block everyone out and ask them why they're doing this and that we don't accept this as a community. So I think, Neem, what I've been saying for years is that what's happening with the system around us is it's scaring people down to an individual level. So, you know, it's making you scared to say anything or do anything, you know, because, oh, the ramifications or what might happen. I'm going to get a fine. I'm going to get this. Oh, you know, whatever it is. And I think we've got to get out of this. We've got to shed this skin like a snake does. We've got to get rid of this shackles of fear. And we need to start communicating with our communities as we started off the podcast and getting friends and everything. And we start to we need to start doing this together. And when I look at the system, I can see clearly that it's disintegrating us. It's like it's dissolving and splintering up and smashing up our communities, because they know communities are strong. Look at the Sydney lockdowns. Where did they concentrate on? They concentrated on all the big areas where you would have the strongest family units and the strongest men. And they locked them down, and they used intimidation and fear tactics and over the top on steroids police forcing to gain control of those lockdown communities, because they knew that those areas of Canterbury and everything would have all these very, very strong family units that come from, you know, Lebanon and, you know, maybe Muslim backgrounds and stuff like that, where you have people who are very, very, very centered on their work and their family units around, and they wouldn't take this kind of stuff. And so they locked them down. And it was an experiment to see, you know, and all the data was crunched there. They're going to lock down the area of Western Sydney that the government would assess as being the hardest to lock down, where they're going to get the most pushback. And that was done. And the data was crunched. Now we know what we can do. you know, and we're gonna treat these people's families like shit. We're gonna shut down their jobs. We're gonna lock them in their homes. We're gonna have police cars everywhere. We're gonna lock them in their communities like animals.
Yeah.
And these people come from war-torn backgrounds and backgrounds where they're not going to really take that. And they've got strong leaders and strong men in their communities that are more likely to stand up and fight back here.
Mm.
So, you know, look what they did. And so this is the thing that we see. And I think that as a communities, in our communities, people are just too concerned individually. And we're not thinking, hey, let's go outside and let's all band together. Because once we're strong as a community and we're together and we start pushing back against this Agenda 2030 system, then we start to put pressure on the local councils and we want them to do their job and we're questioning them and we start banging on their door, then they've got a problem. So they start asking the people that are superior to them. This goes to the state governments, then to the federal parliament.
That's right.
They've got a problem and then they start going outside. We've got a problem. And then we start get people thinking for themselves, and they start the police start thinking, hey, we don't want to implement this. This is wrong. We don't want to do this to the communities. So people just need to understand that they're scaring us down to an individual level, and we're worried inside our homes when we really should be out there and getting this done together. And look, if there's people out there and their friends or their family and they just don't want to get on board here, you know more than this than anyone, Neen. What kind of advice could we give to people who have these family units and members who are just, you got to get the jab. You got to do what the government's telling you to do. You've got to wear the mask. You've got to do all this. Or you're the one who's causing all the problems and everything like this. It is really one of the most difficult questions that I've had to answer here, because so many people have emailed me over the years. And over these last couple of years saying, oh, my God, you know, my mum, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, my workmates, my colleagues, these people have been close to me all my life, these friends that I grew up with, they got the jabs now and they don't want me around. My family don't want me to come and see their new babies. They said I can't visit. If you don't get the jab, we don't want you around, you know, and all of this. And these people are shattered. And they feel lonely and isolated. Yeah, and they're not understanding that there's a whole community out there that's able to take that blow for them and absorb that heat and perhaps take them into that corner and say, you know, this is maybe where we can go from now and this is how you need to deal with it.
Yeah,
you've been through it, Neen. So.
They are going to be you will be okay. And, I mean, I know it's hard when it's family, but... Yeah, sometimes you've just got to.
You tried to educate yours, didn't you, Neen?
Well, look, just keep giving them love. You know, I mean, they can shit on you if they want to, but if you just stand strong and go, okay, I understand. Like, you do you, I'll do me. You just show them that you're happy and you're doing what feels right for you, and just be respectful and kind and don't bite, you know, like fighting gets nowhere. It's the most useless thing that we can do as humans is be arguing back and forth when nobody's ever going to win because you both think you're right. So you just listen to their reasoning of why they're doing things and go, okay, well, look, you know, I respect that decision. I love you. You know, and the more love you give out, I know it may sound corny, but we've really lost that in our society. We're such in competition all the time of like, who's doing something better or blah, you know, like, no, just do you and do you well, you know, like, love your family close to you, love yourself, and just be kind to other people. Start doing things for people without anything in return. You know, I've done that for a very long time, and I can tell you what, I'm so humble and happy in my life, and I know that the life I've created, it hasn't come easy. I've lost friends that you know that I've been friends with Adam for most of my life, and I still come back to like we've got each other, you know, like you're Mark's one of Mark's longest friends, and I'm so grateful that we have each other because we have so many people around us that we've both known for a very long time that think we're crazy, and I'm okay with that. I actually don't really care what anyone thinks of me because at the end of the day, I know I'm treating people well and kindly, respectfully, and lovingly. And I'm also doing that for myself and my family. So, I know it's a hard thing to deal with, and I have it all the time. People come to me all the time saying, "But my family, my family, my family." I'm like, mate, if they don't want to be around you, just leave it. I know that's hard, but yeah, let them do their thing and focus on the people that do want to be around you, and that's actually going to make you feel really nurtured and nourished and, you know, prosper. So, you know, going back to the community we created here many, many years ago, like 8 years ago or so, we had our own directory of everyone's businesses. So it's like, oh, do you do nannying? Yes. Are you a hairdresser? Brilliant. Electrician, blah, blah, blah. We've got egg farmers, we've got fruit and veggie growers, we've got dairy farmers, you know. And we've got co-ops within this community. And through all this time and we've all been told, you know, you're not vaccinating your child, you can't come near us, blah, blah, blah. And we've had to cop that for a very, very long time. So I guess our resilience is probably a lot higher than some because we've had to face this for a long time. But the thing is, you can either go two ways. You can just like hate on people and go, well, you know, we're right, they're all wrong, they're a bunch of whatevers. But no, everyone's trying to do their best, and we just have to bring people back to the common thing is we all think we're doing the right thing and we're never going to agree on anything. So let's just be respectful and do our own things that make us happy. And if that means you're not communicating with those people anymore, so be it.
I see a lot of this happening where family members and stuff, you know, someone, you know, folks didn't want the COVID jabs, and when you got to that height of the fear mongering, and people believed in it so much, and now they're getting to the point where, you know, they're sort of looking at their friends and family who didn't get the jabs, and they're like, "Are you all right? You haven't been sick or anything?" And they haven't had anything. I'm like, "No, I'm fine."
Yeah.
I know people around me. I'm like, "No, I haven't had anything. I'm
No.
completely fine because nothing in my life has changed since I was young till this point. The only thing has changed is the media has pumped out more propaganda. There's
Yeah.
nothing out there to get you. There's no boogeyman. It's
No.
all in the mind."
And you've watched
And yeah,
just
and you watch too much media, and they've pumped out these lies, and now you're creating this situation of that you're going to get sick and die from a virus when it just isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can see that us next door or your own family or whatever, we've been fine for these few years, and we haven't even had a cold, and there's nothing wrong with us. So
That's
if there
right.
was this really crazy virus that was so bad that they had to stop the whole world, wouldn't we all have it? You know, I
We'd
mean,
be
just
dead already, wouldn't we?
we'd be all goners, you know. And they're starting to sort of think, oh, you know, like, that's a funny thing. Like, you haven't had anything, you know. So yes, you know, and I think it's time for a lot of people to, you know, look into the mirror and face that reality. Because if you're unable to work through ego, and you're unable to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I made a mistake, I was conned, You know, I was lied to. I was manipulated by the governments that I put trust in. And there's a documentary I talked about, Silent No More from New Zealand. It's very sad and it's shattering. All these people in New Zealand who trusted the government, they trusted the media, and they did what they were told, and now they're injured, and now they're in wheelchairs, and now their lives are completely ruined, and they're never the same again. Yeah. And now this very same system that they trusted and they put all their trust in has turned its back on them and doesn't want anything to do with them and is not helping them, and they're not getting compensation. And now, you know, every time they try to talk to them, all they can see is the back of their heads going indoors and out that door and out this door and in that door, and they're gone, you know. And this is the thing that we tried to warn people about when this first started, that, you know, if you get these jabs, if you play into this fear and something happens to you, this very system will abandon you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to be a very hard lesson for people, but it's a lesson that they have to go through, and it's a lesson possibly in this life that they needed to learn.
That's
right. You know, but with us, we're aware. And we're awake, and we understand, we've done our homework, and we've been able to ride this storm out. And we've been able to navigate through, even though, as you said, it's been hard, and we've been discriminated against and bullied and picked on and everything. We've still navigated through, and we've come to this point. And we're here now, and we're still going. And that's all we can do. That's all we can do. And I think a lot of people are starting to come around here, and they're starting to look at all this because it's becoming so comical and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're starting to see themselves. Even the heavily devoted, they're starting to think this is ridiculous now, what they're saying, you know, and what's going on. So,
well, you'd have to
Welcome everybody on board.
You'd have to question at five shots now.
Number five. And the thing is, Nadine, when the whole thing is falling to pieces, the whole COVID vaccine or jab tower is absolutely crumbling and falling to pieces, and now we're finding out so much. And with the Australian TGA lying, and with everything that we know all around the world, and all the doctors and scientists, like everything that's happening, I can't keep on top of it every day. The entire Pfizer, AstraZeneca, J&J, you know, the whole mRNA shot system is absolutely crumbling to pieces and falling apart in front of our eyes. Yet here they are recommending number five. But then... I was talking about this other night, and it's just something that was put up. You've got Karl Stefanovic on Morning Breakfast TV, the biggest, you know, Today Show or whatever, the biggest, you know, mainstream media propaganda outlets in the country, Morning Breakfast TV. Here he is saying, I don't want any more. I'm done. People are having heart problems. And the doctor saying they're not really working, you know. And then he's... Here's our health authorities, or so-called health authorities, still recommending more. So we understand that they've got to go with it. Yeah, they can't go back now. So, you know, and they're being questioned, and they're being pulled to pieces. The whole thing's falling apart. So, I would say to people, buckle up. It's going to be a crazy ride.
Yeah, Skerritt has said that.
Sweaty creeper.
Heart problems related to the COVID vaccines. Yet they've, you know, what's myocarditis? What's pericarditis? You know, I mean, hello.
Hello. It's
still very rare, you know, apparently.
It's still rare.
And you're like, well, you know, you only have to go and have a look at the Vax Bus, which is recorded. Every vaccine injury, not just COVID. You go to Jab Injuries Global, Jab Injuries Australia.
There's no end.
Like, there is no, like, this is not a lie. Like, this is not.
We can rare. See it's dangerous and deadly. It's
extremely common. And I have to say, I don't know, like, I am just seeing way more people now on walking sticks, and I don't know if it's me, my eyes deceiving me, but
I'm seeing a lot of people limping.
Yeah, there's just way more.
They're limping. There's all these hoppies going around. Hop, hop, hop.
I know. And I mean, I know, you know, gosh, you know, maybe a lot of people are falling over at the moment, but who knows? But it's a big assumption, but you start seeing these things like.
You know what I've noticed, Nina, as well? The ambulances, because I heard so many of them and people started talking about them. Some people were saying on social media that they're turning the sirens off in neighborhoods.
Well, they
But
are now.
I've
They're
actually
very.
witnessed it many times. I've had the ambulances I didn't even know, and I've looked in the rearview mirror and the flashing lights are on, but there's no siren. And I've actually
No.
come home. I've been out shopping or done a few things, and I've come home, and we're in a pretty quiet neighborhood, and I've seen the ambulances parked out front of houses all the time. Very stealth.
Well, at the start of the year, I have
Don't
to
want to spook
say,
the herd.
it was like there were so many sirens that I actually now can't tell the difference between an ambulance, a fire engine, police car. I know that's terrible. When I was young, they were very distinctive,
Now
but
it's all
now I have
merged.
no idea. But looking after children, they were so excited by all these sirens, and I just felt completely heartbroken. I'm like, I actually had never heard them until the start of this year. And when I say a lot, I mean every half an hour there'd be one going past. And a lot of my friends were saying the same, like, did you hear the sirens? Did you hear the sirens? You know, and obviously they're all in different areas. I'm like, well, no, I can't hear you in Maitland, but in, you know, Newcastle, there was a lot. And then it just stopped. And you're going, okay,
People
this is,
started talking about it on social
it's not
media, see?
fair. Something's right. And I mean, you know, there's a lot to talk about in Newcastle now because
What's the legality of that mean, like turning off the sirens when they're going to a house where someone's had a suspected heart attack? I mean,
don't think, I mean, it's not unusual, it's not new. I mean, they would. Yeah, like you'd see them with this lights flashing without sirens on to transport people. But I really don't know. I don't know the legalities of
Isn't
how
it?
that works. I mean, they brought in that thing that you couldn't, if you saw them with their lights, but you all had to basically pull over and let them pass and or like go slower if they were stopped on the side of the
And
road.
don't worry that they're putting defibrillators on the streets. Nothing to see
Well,
there.
yeah, I've noticed a lot like in shopping centres, way more than they used to. They're very obvious where they are now. They're only like every couple of metres there's a defibrillator. So, I mean, that's comforting, but also quite scary. I guess, you know, if you
Going to be
dropped,
like a
went down, like you'd. Someone would be able to use it, hopefully. I mean, if they're going to do this, they better start mass first aiding people in how to work these things because, you know, you're going to have a lot of problems. But, man, it's a crazy world, that's for sure.
Oh,
But, you
man,
know,
it's insane.
we just have to arm ourselves with what we have at hand, and that's each other. And, you know, good things come from creative minds. So, you know, we've got to hold on to that. And I, you know, I think the future is going to be pretty bright.
Well, I think so too. And I always say, and I always come back to, and people are sick of me saying this and hearing it, but I always say awareness is the key. If we are not aware of everything, you know, around us, everything, then we are basically food for the system. We become food and we get eaten away. Incrementally, dose by dose, we get eaten away, and we start to disappear. And this is transhumanism. We become food for the system, and when we are aware, we become stronger. And there's a lot of things thrown at us. And but when you're if you and I weren't aware and our listeners weren't aware, we'd be jabbed, or we wouldn't be doing this. It is just incredible to me over the years doing this, and how much I've been thinking about this, how powerful awareness is. And that you don't need to go out and find yourself, or you don't need to earn anything, you don't need money, you don't need to buy anything or sell anything. It's right there waiting for you, you know? And you know, you And people have been saying, you know, I walk into the room and my parents are watching the mainstream media news at 6 o'clock and they're just sitting there like zombies with drool coming out the side of their mouths. And then I look at this for 1 second and it's just like, this is ridiculous, you know? And it's like, a lot of people just can't deal with the media and stuff. And I absolutely understand. It is painful.
I know.
And I'm often, I'm okay with being the punching bag because I'm thick skinned. I'm pretty tough with it. But, you know, now I just, I'm eating them, you know, like I look at it and I can't believe how bad it is. And I can't believe that people are buying this.
It feels like a dark comedy.
It's crazy.
Because you do, like,
they're so desperate too.
Everything you see now, it's like, really? I mean,
straight away, you like, seriously?
I didn't believe things before.
Yeah, I know it wasn't, but now it's bad.
You know, if my mum's got the Today Show on, I'm sitting there going, wow, this is
really. They're like clowns in a circus, freak show. Like,
the reality show.
Well, yeah, it's like a soap opera.
Big Brother.
Yeah, but they're merging sort of reality and fiction, and it and the people don't know where they are now. And
well, you're getting to know your newsreader. You never did before. Like, you know, suddenly Carl has a personality, and you know what he ate for breakfast, and blah blah blah. But we didn't know what Ray Martin did before. He just had this amazing head of hair and seemed to speak nicely. And you're like, right, okay, there's Ray, bye. But now it's so personal. And what I don't, you know, what I don't like, but also one thing I've observed, particularly over the last 10 years, is that I remember Virginia on ABC Morning Show, and I used to think that that was a great alternative to the others. And then she just started speaking her mind, giving her opinion. And I'm like, that's not your job. We don't need to know your opinion. You're just meant to tell us the news. And that's when that, you know, that moment of like, it really reinforced how terrible that platform is, like news readers and everything. And so I just saw it in a completely different light of, okay, let's see what, not that I didn't think it was rubbish before, but, you know, how much are they going to push on us through these people? Because now they've given them a personality. People think they know them. They're like, oh, I love that woman. She's great. They were very clever, very smart in the way they marketed it. So, yeah, look, I think you got to – I know the news isn't for everyone, as she said, and I understand that too, but if you can handle it, it's actually really good to know exactly – they are just – they're laying it out there very plain as day of what they're doing. They're not hiding anything. They're making it very clear what their next moves are, what they have planned for us.
So yeah, I think you're too dumb to know.
I just want to be informed. Like I, through their layers of craziness and deceit and blah, 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 it's all there. So you don't have to watch the whole thing because, you know, 5 minutes is enough, but it is really good to keep informed so you can really understand what it is that they're trying to do and how they're doing it. So you can always be, yeah, like, okay, well, this is the next thing. It's not going to shock me. I'm not going to be shocked by it because I'm ready, you know. And that's a way of self-preservation as well for those that do find it really hard to handle because I think as strong as people want to be, it can be a real struggle for some to really be able to hold all of this information. So, yeah, you know, you've got to look after yourself. And but if you know what's coming, it's not so shocking. You can kind of, in a very bizarre way, laugh at it and go, right, yep, okay, here we go. This is happening now. I'm prepared. And I think for us, that's always been, it's worked for us, hasn't it? Just being aware of what's going on. So,
That's right.
yeah.
If you're not aware, if you're not aware of what's coming, it's a real hammer blow. And it's a psychological blow as well, and people get down and because you know the system that you believed in and that you put all your faith and trust in has just bitten you in the throat, and you're like, what's going on here? But when you're aware of the system and you understand its next moves, and you know it's not a big blow at all. As you said, yeah, they're showing you. This is the way that this is the way the Freemasons work, you know. They have to tell you what they're doing. Always. They have to let us know what they're doing so that we accept it. So we are contracting. This is a thing, but this is not a written contract. It's subconscious, it's subliminal. And we are contracting in our minds. And that's why movies and, you know, sitcoms and TV and everything's so big in the news, because they're explaining to us what they're going to do, but they're wrapping it up in entertainment. And subconsciously, and by physically not standing up and saying no to it and being aware, like we're talking about conscious, you know, and saying, you know, it's ridiculous. No, I don't think so. We're just going along to get along, and we're going along with it, and we're becoming a tool of the system. We're becoming food for this system. And we don't understand. This is a mind war. This is a war against our minds, and that's where they're getting us. And you know, so they're doing all of this, but they're wrapping it up in so much entertainment. You know that you know people are going in and they're watching this, and they don't understand that what's the damage that this is doing, really where it counts, you know. And they're not doing that work. They're not getting in there. It's like the layers of an onion. It really is. And we've got to get in there and take all that apart. And we've got to face ourselves, and we've got to face this. And once you do that, and you do that personal work, and it takes years. It's taken me years. You know, I've been doing this podcast alone since 2015. And I was at one time very frightened of looking in the mirror and facing all this. This is what psychedelics can do as well, you know, and help people, you know, to face those fears, you know, to mirror that. And once you start to get onto it, yeah, you can see what they're doing, and it becomes it's a joke. And you know, you can laugh at it. You know, if I need a good comedy and a good laugh and a belly laugh, I'll watch the mainstream media news. But at the same time, you know, I will break it down and do these podcasts and relay the serious matters, and we try to get that message out to people about what they're doing, because they're telling you what's coming, and they're telling you what they're doing and what they're doing to us. And I think that society, you know, as a whole is too dumb and too dumbed down to really get it. But we're consenting, and it's all about consent. That's what it's all about. If they were going to get us jabbed, they would have, and force us, then they would have, and they didn't force me, and they didn't force you, and our listeners. I haven't been forced to do anything yet.
No one's helped
And
me.
now, yeah, now I understand that it's all me. They're relying on me being so dumbed down and so scared and living in such a fear state that I'm willing to almost cut my own throat or actually do it. So I'm going to do it to myself. They want us, you know, to do it to ourselves. And that's the thing. Once we overcome that and we understand that, and we start to take control back of our lives, then this thing, whatever it is that's doing this, whatever parasitic entity this is, whatever it is that's controlling the rule of our lives, it will disappear very quickly. You know, they're not forcing us to do anything. They're manipulating us and engineering us in such a way that we're doing it to ourselves. And we're, as I said, when we started off, we're taking in this fear and this propaganda and all this nonsense and all this news and all these newspapers and all this stuff and all this wars and all these things. And everything that's being displayed to us, we're absorbing that as humans, and then we're putting it back out, and that's shaping our reality, unfortunately. But this is not an unfortunate thing. This is teaching us. And I think that as we get older, This is the beauty of getting old. And they demonize getting older. It's a bad thing, you know, because everything's about how you look. But getting older is actually a magnificent thing. And yeah. This life is just an experience. When you die, when we all of us die, that is actually living. You can consider this as the same as a dream right now. And I finally understand that now. This is just a projection of who we really are. And it's almost like a game. It's almost like some higher consciousness self is playing a game with us to see if we can get it. How are we going to go in this game? You know, are we going to get tricked and are we going to fall into all this stuff and get sucked up with all this illusion, or are we actually going to get it? Yeah, and for you and I and all our listeners, we've actually got it. And I think it's a wonderful state of affairs. So I always say to people, and I have a guest on, Jason, who's in Brisbane. He says, don't let it get you down. Do your work, have your family, do your things that you need to do, but keep your eye on the system like a hawk and break it all down and work it out and be a better person for it, you know. Don't let it get you down, because it's always going to be there. There's always going to be the dark and the light, and there's, you know, the negative and the positive, and it's up to us to find that balance so that we can find our way forward and be the best people that we can. And as you said before, Neen, there's always going to be, you know, aspects of our lives and families and friends who are going to be angry at us because of this. Leave it alone. Leave it alone for now. And let's hope that eventually they'll come back and come back into our lives. But as you said before as well, Neen, it's such a strange situation to, and I talked about this on a lot of my Nightwatch podcasts, that you grow up with all these people around you. Remember when we used to go out and have drinks and beers and see bands and you had like 100 people around you, all your friends? And now I can't count my friends on one hand, hardly. You know, there's like, we're in a quarter. There's only a couple of us left. Oh, what are we going to do? And it's like, but you know what? That's the friends that matter. And that's what life boils down to. And all these people who have run away and blaming you for things or angry at you for something, then that's the way that it is. Don't take it personally. It's just life. And hopefully someday they'll come back, Neen, and we can have a discussion with them. But if they don't, then we can't do anything about it, really. We can just try.
Yeah. I love the new people that sit around your table now, you know, the new people that have come into your life from all of
this. They do. They get replaced, don't they?
And honestly, you know, I mean, life is, it evolves all the time. And
it's changing.
You know, you get the right people, and we're really fortunate that we have a long-term friendship that's lasted for a very long time, decades and decades. But it's not to discard those new people that have come into your life in the last 5 years or 3 years or 10 years, you know. And you just nurture. You nurture those people that actually want to be with you, instead of yearning for the ones that don't, because it, you know, what's the point in worrying? And it really, I think it comes down to the way you view the world. It can be as simple as your belief systems, your religion, whatever. But, you know, Christians will say straight out, the Bible has all of this that's happening right now is in the Bible. So there's nothing, honestly, there is just nothing to fear. Like everything is the way it should be. So regardless of what you see the world as, it is how it is, and just live in it and enjoy it and don't worry, because what you worry about now will mean nothing to you tomorrow. So, you know, just, enjoy your life and make the positive changes that you want to see happen. And that's what all this is about, you know. It's living. Don't be living in fear. Actually live and enjoy it, because it's a really beautiful world out there, you know. It really is. And we've got so many beautiful people around us to enjoy this journey with and create our new world.
So focus more on that and them and not on this system of fear.
Yeah, just be aware, focus on that, and just, fear is just going to disable you and not allow you to move forward. So, we're in for the long haul, but that's fine because we're resilient and we have our DNA intact.
And so. Blood work. Yeah, indeed. And and we're not afraid to look into the fear system as Neo was inserted into the Matrix, in the Matrix movie. They inserted themselves into the Matrix to get the, to do what they needed to do and then go back out. And so we're not scared to go in, to insert ourselves into this Matrix system to gather the knowledge and things that we need to look at what it is doing, the system is doing. And then take that back out, absorb it, and then talk like we're doing now on a podcast. That's why I do the podcast. And then talk about what we think and then break it down in how we feel. And then hopefully our listeners can come in and say, yeah, I feel the same way. So that's what all this is about. But to not let it drag you down. If you feel like ever it's dragging you down, because a lot of work doing this and what we do, then have that break, have those breaks and get back out in the natural world and give yourself that sort of space as well. And if folks out there feel like it's just too much, then we just want them on board and listening and doing anything that they feel like they're good at and just getting involved. So there's plenty of things which we'll explore on the next podcast we do. Nina, on the next ones, we'll talk a little bit more about this community building and what people can do and how they can get involved. And there's a million and one things that people can do, and as we move forward here. But anything you want to finish on or give out any information for the podcast tonight?
Oh, look, just
contacts or anything. I'll put it all up anyway.
Yeah, I'll give you some contacts of different community networks that are going.
I'll put in all the links.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, everyone knows about, you've got the hoodies, helpers and things like that. But I think if you're looking for that connection in your area, we have, over very many years, we've had the like-minded network across Australia, and I can very easily connect people in to those areas. So we just, people.
If there's anyone from that network that you want to grab, if you want me to chat to on the podcast, then let me know as well.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're all people you know.
Tell them and they can come on for a chat. Yep.
Yeah. And look, we've all just been working together for years. I have people that, moving from the Northern Beaches up to Newcastle. And they're sent to me and, can you help us? Can we come into your community? Can you help us find somewhere to live? Or we're looking for childcare, et cetera. So these are all really positive things that have been running for a very long time as well. So they're not new and they're well established and they're a well-oiled system. So, reach out and we'll do our best to connect you in the right direction. But I strongly advise going on to the My Place website, and I'll give Adam that link, because this is a new endeavor and I do think it's a very, very positive way forward, and it's really, I think, what every community will want to get involved in. No leaders, it's just communities working together to make a better future. So, and it'll sort out your digital ID and your transactions of money and a lot of Argus market stuff going on. So, really positive stuff. So, I hope tonight has made people feel a bit lighter, because I think we all need that, and feel more motivated and inspired to do something that makes you feel good. So, but I'd like to thank you, Adam, for having me on, and I'm really looking forward to coming back in 4 weeks' time and talking more about everything as we do. So
Well,
thank you.
all good and fantastic. Good first one anyway to get the podcast kicked off, and we'll be back again in March around this time. Then we'll organize a date that's comfortable for you. Make sure you're around and able to do it. And if we're busy or anything happens, we'll just shift to another time, but we'll always be here to cover all the latest. And as you know, and as we've done tonight, there's every few weeks, there's just, especially if you're doing a month, there's so much to talk about to wrap up everything. And indeed, so we'll be back again. Thanks so much for your effort and time tonight. And I'll shoot this through to you when it's up and out there for you to share on your end. And we would thank all the listeners out there and the members and everyone. This is Real Independent Media on the ground. And Nadine's known me like half my life, so she knows that you know, this is the real deal, and we're just here to find answers and have a conversation and get it out to the folks. So it's nice to do this, I hope we can continue, Neen, and fantastic work, and we'll connect again soon.
Awesome. Thank you.